Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Papa John's first quarter 2017 conference call and webcast. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question and answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star and then zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Lance Tucker, CFO. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, Chelsea, and good morning, everyone. Joining me on the call today are our Founder, Chairman, and CEO, John Schnatter, our President and COO, Steve Ritchie, and other members of our senior management team. After the financial update, John and Steve will have comments about our business, and the management team will then be available for Q&A. Our discussion today will contain forward-looking statements involving risks that could cause actual results to differ materially from these statements. Forward-looking statements should be considered in conjunction with the cautionary statements in our earnings press release and the risk factors included in our SEC filings. Please refer to our earnings release and the investor relations section of our website for a reconciliation of non-GAAP financial measures discussed on this call. Now on to a discussion of our first quarter operating results. Diluted EPS in the first quarter was $0.77, up 12% over 2016. EPS benefited by $0.03 due to the adoption of the new stock-based accounting rules. First quarter revenues were up 4.8%, driven primarily by higher QCC sales from volume increases and higher commodity prices, as well as increased global comp sales and units. Domestic company-owned restaurant margins decreased 1.6%, driven primarily by higher labor, higher non-owned automobile claim costs, and increased mileage reimbursement expense from higher fuel prices. North America commissary and other margins decreased 50 basis points, due primarily to higher delivery expense at the commissaries, offset partially by improved margins from our online and mobile ordering business. International margins improved 1%, due primarily to an increase in franchise royalties from 6% comps and a year-over-year increase in units. G&A was lower by approximately $2.2 million, down to 8.5% of consolidated revenues due to several factors, including lower franchise incentives, lower bonuses, favorable bad debt experience, and the timing of international marketing spend. Our effective tax rate was 28.6% in the first quarter, down 3.7% from the prior year. Of this decrease, 3.2% was due to the new stock-based compensation accounting rules. We repurchased $13 million of stock during the quarter and currently have approximately $120 million of remaining share repurchase authorization. Our free cash flow, a non-GAAP measure we define as cash flow from operations less capital expenditures, was approximately $32.3 million in the first quarter, up from 2016, mainly due to a large non-recurring payment that occurred in 2016. As noted in our previous press release, the company is reaffirming all aspects of its previously issued 2017 outlook. To reiterate, our EPS outlook includes the benefit of the 53rd week and excludes the impact of the new stock-based compensation accounting rules. And now I'd like to turn the call over to our founder, chairman, and CEO, John Schnatter. John?
Hey, thanks, Lance, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us on the call today as we discuss our first quarter 2017 results. I'm pleased with our solid revenue and earnings growth in the first quarter. We continue to perform well in a challenging environment and expect 2017 to be another good year of growth for Papa John's global brand. Our continued success comes from our strong fundamentals as we continue to build upon our commitment of better ingredients, better pizza, and having the cleanest label among national pizza brands. As part of that clean label and better ingredient journey, we recently launched two separate menu pilot programs. First, we debuted organic vegetable toppings in our pizzas across the Lexington market. The test includes freshly sliced Roma tomatoes, green peppers, yellow onions, and mushrooms, and we've been receiving great feedback from our customers. This is an important step in offering better options to consumers and driving our business as more than half of American households purchase organic produce. We will continue to lead the way in creating positive change for the pizza category and in our food system, working with our suppliers like Green Bean Delivery. Additionally, we also recently announced a pilot program for our gluten-free crust made with ancient grains. The Papa John's R&D team does a fantastic job, led by Chief Ingredient Officer Sean Muldoon, spent more than a year to develop this product with the goal of offering pizza fans a better-tasting, gluten-free pizza crust. I think they delivered. Not only does it taste better, the ancient grains are naturally gluten-free and higher in protein and fiber than other grains. This new crust is currently being tested in Papa John's locations across Los Angeles, Phoenix, St. Louis, Houston, and Nashville. Speaking of new additions, our sports partnerships continue to perform extremely strong for us. In February, we were named the official pizza partner of the NHRA. We remain the only QSR in the sport and sponsor the NHR's top driver, DSR's Leah Pritchard, who has won 3 out of the first 6 races of the season and set a world speed record. We also announced the charity challenge series. We're always looking for ways to give back to local communities, and throughout the 2017 NHRA season, we will be supporting and raising awareness for Infinite Hero Foundation. The foundation promotes awareness and provides resources to help combat the mental and physical issues that returning military heroes and their families have to deal with. I'm proud to work with Leah, a valued member of the Papa John's family, to help shine a light on the great work they do to benefit the military heroes and their families. I'm also happy that my Z28 Camaro is still positively having an impact on lives, especially our military. To conclude, I'm pleased to get 2017 off to a solid start. Beth, I'll turn it over to Steve Ritchie. Steve?
All right. Thank you, John, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us on the call today as we discuss our first quarter 2017 results. I'm very proud of our franchisees and operators for continuing to provide exceptional service and quality to our customers across the globe, maintaining our position as the recognized leader in quality within the industry. As always, we maintain our commitment to deliver superior customer experiences, amplified by our team member first approach. As John stated, our relentless focus on high quality, clean label ingredients, operational execution of the fundamentals, and giving back to our local communities are just some of the key factors that continue to differentiate our brand. Our consistent commitment to our core values delivered our 26th consecutive quarter of positive comp sales growth. Our domestic restaurants continue to produce positive sales growth in this ever-evolving consumer environment. Restaurant margins were negatively impacted in the quarter by wage inflation, higher cheese costs, and delivery-related headwinds. But despite the Q1 headwinds, we are confident in our reaffirmed full-year 2017 comparable sales and earnings guidance, as well as our long-term growth potential. Moving to international, we've now reached over 1,600 locations in 45 countries and territories. We see a significant opportunity for growth abroad and continued our great momentum in this front in Q1 with improved sales, margins, and profits. Q1 marked our 29th consecutive quarter of positive comp sales growth for our international business. In March, we announced the opening of our 100th location in Russia, one of our strongest international markets, as well as the opening of our second market in Northern Africa in Casablanca, Morocco. Speaking of expansion, our sports partnerships continue to perform strongly for us. In late March, we announced the start of our second year as the official pizza of Major League Baseball, and will extend our successful Papa Slam promotion where pizza fans receive 40% off regular menu price pizzas the day after a Grand Slam is hit. This was a great sales driver for us last season, and we expect the same this season. On the technology front, we continue to reinforce our commitment to providing a better customer experience with enhancements to our digital ordering process. We averaged over 60% domestic sales across our digital channels in Q1, of which roughly 70% is from our mobile ordering channels. In addition to being the leader in digital payment options at checkout, in March, we announced the introduction of Papa Track, a digital pizza tracker that allows customers to follow the pizza process from the oven to delivery. Just as we do with our ingredients, we prioritize and invested in additional digital payment options and the development of Papa Track to provide customers with a seamless experience, from ordering and paying for their pizza to tracking that order to delivery. To conclude, we are happy to report consumers are recognizing our unwavering commitment to quality and our efforts to improve the customer experience. Papa John's has taken its place as the 2017 Pizza Brand of the Year in the 2017 Harris Poll Equitrend Rankings. The poll measures brand perceptions of more than 100,000 U.S. consumers across more than 4,000 brands, from automobiles to TVs and technology. We are proud to be recognized as the pizza category leader by consumers and confident that we have the brand strength to to continue producing great results for years to come. With that, I will turn it back over to Lance for questions.
Thank you, Chelsea. We're ready for questions.
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press the star and then the number one key on your telephone keypad. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. And our first question comes from the line of Alton Stump with Longbow Research. Your line is now open.
Hey, thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
You know, I know you don't like to talk about intra-quarter comps, but you know, if I go back to your comments, you know, on the fourth quarter conference call, you know, as the trends to date at that point in the first quarter, it appears the comps, you know, picked up a little bit in the back half of the first quarter. And, you know, is that true? And sort of, you know, what drove that? And then, if you give us any kind of color commentary on, you know, how things have trended so far here in 2Q.
Sure, Alton, it's Steve. I'll take that one. Thanks for the question. As I alluded to on the last call, to your point, we did come out of the gates a little softer than what we had planned for. You know, we are pleased with the overall 2% comp that we produced within the quarter. To your question of cadence, as we typically don't like to get into cadence, what I would say is, to your question, we did get a little bit better just in terms of the transaction improvements that we saw coming out of the quarter in March. Some of that's attributed to some slightly more aggressive promotions that we did the last couple of weeks of the quarter from a national perspective. We implemented our customer appreciation week for the last couple of weeks of the quarter. But overall, pleased with the quarter, and to your question of how are things going now, I guess what I would lead to is that you think about our full year guidance of 2-4, we feel very confident. We talked about in our opening remarks that we will be well within our full year guidance of 2-4.
That's helpful. Thanks. And then, was there any impact, you know, from Easter, obviously shift there in the quarter?
I'm sorry, Alton. What was your question again?
Yeah, you know, I was asking if there's any impact, you know, from the Easter shift.
The Easter shift. No, okay. I'm sorry about that. I didn't hear your question at first.
Sure.
Not a material impact. Certainly a slight little benefit. Not really material within the quarter. And obviously the shift to P4 and Q2. The same thing. You don't really expect a material improvement.
Got it. And then just one, you know, I'll follow up and then I'll hop back in queue. But just, you know, on unit growth front, obviously, you know, first quarter, you know, running a little bit lower. Any annual guide, sort of, you know, what gives you confidence that you can get into annual guide for the full year? And then, you know, if you could maybe just touch on the 30 store closures in North America, sort of, you know, what drove that?
Sure, on to Steve again. I'd say, you know, similar to what last year looked like in 16 in the first quarter, we came out of the gates a little softer. The category has been consistently really aggressive just in terms of pricing, promotional activity, and media spend across the category from our competitors. So I'd say if you look at the trailing quarters the last several years, if you look at the stacks, that's what gives us really the confidence. And some of this is cyclical in nature. From an initiative standpoint, we look at our marketing promotional calendar that we have planned, as I alluded to, the Major League Baseball, the second year build-up from that. The things that we have in place and plan for our partnership, our new partnership with NHRA over the summer, and then kicking off, you know, the NFL as we kick off that in period 9 through the end of the year. So certainly, if you look at the promotional plans that we have in the year, really taking a step up against what we did last year, and that drives us again to, you know, kind of fall into that 2-4, which will produce kind of a 3.5 to 5.5 two-year stack. As it alludes to your question to the closures, really a function of timing. We talked about this on the last call, that the predominant amount of our openings are going to occur in the back half of 2017. From a timing standpoint, we also had an increase in those closures that did occur in Q1, where some of our anticipation that would be spread out a little bit more into Q2. I would highlight that there's it's predominantly in a couple of regions, and some of that strategic in nature. The first would be in the Northeast, where we just had a slight pickup in closures in a couple of underpenetrated markets. But from a strategic standpoint, some cleanup in China on the franchise side in South and East China within our franchisee. So the vast majority of the closures did occur there. I highlighted strategically because we're starting to see some real pickup from a sales momentum perspective with our franchisee in China, which gives us a lot of optimism on the long-term potential of our China business. The last thing I would just say is that, you know, we're well within that 4-5% full-year guidance still on the development front.
That's great. Thanks, Steve, for the color.
Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Alex Slagle with Jefferies. Your line is now open.
Hey, thanks. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I wanted to follow up on development. Just you've announced a number of new development agreements, entered a bunch of new countries. So just like to get an idea how we should think about the potential ramp in growth over the next couple of years and if there's a certain point where we'll reach an inflection and see those openings really accelerate.
This is Tim O'Hearn, the Chief Development Officer. We feel really strong about our international ramp and where it's headed. We have a very robust pipeline in terms of units in the queue to be developed. We really like where we're headed with our development in Northern Africa. Tunisia, Morocco, Egypt have been very strong for us. We like what we've seen out of our development in Europe. Our Russian franchisee continues to grow that market and is pursuing additional markets within the former Soviet states. We're really happy with that. We've had some struggles in China, frankly, but we've gotten turned around in one of the markets and are focusing on the other. So we're happy with that. But all in all, our pipeline is very robust, very strong. We have a number of groups we're working with to develop other countries, and our lead generation continues to be strong.
Yeah, thank you, Tim. And Alex, the only thing I would add is that as we talked about on the last call, we had a record number of new country openings, and Tim hit some of those, and you know, we anticipate to have new countries again this year. I don't know whether we hit record, but the build-up of that does take a little bit of time. You know, so the first couple of years, you'll see minimal units, but as we expand in those units, the scale will provide the growth. And obviously, the guidance indicates coming off last year's 204 unit openings, our range indicates that we're going to see nice growth from a development perspective in 2017.
Okay, thanks for that. And then, Lance, on the corporate cost of goods, it was slightly lower year over year, and I imagine you're still seeing some benefits from favorable cheese contracts and perhaps lower meat and dough costs. But I think you previously talked about potentially seeing the cost of goods as a percentage of revenue up 50 to 150 basis points this year due to the cheese costs. Should we still look for that kind of increase?
Good morning, Alex. I think given the cheese has come down a little bit relative to where we thought we'd be, we're more in the 50 to 100 basis points, so we're going to take the top end of that range down a little bit for right now. And you're right, relative to the first quarter, we got some benefit from the forward pricing arrangements we had done and really were able to keep the cheese increase very well in check in Q1.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Will Slabaugh with Stephens Inc. Your line is now open.
Yeah, thanks, guys. First question on the commissary. That number looked a little higher than where we thought it was going to be. Looks like that growth was up around 10% this quarter. I think 12% or so was the growth last quarter. And I'm wondering what's driving that and how we should think about that growth rate in the coming quarters.
Sure. And Will, I assume you're talking about the revenue number, correct?
Correct.
All right. So we have a fixed penny margin on our cheese, which is the biggest single item that the commissary sells. It's about 30 to 35% of the cost of a pizza. So when you see the price of cheese go up, and it was up about 14 cents on the block in the first quarter, what you're going to see is you're going to see the gross revenue number go up. The dollar margin doesn't change, so the percentage margin actually comes down a little bit. But that's what drove that increase. Of the $17 or so million, the big piece of it was, in fact, the cheese increase. There was also an increase in pieces, though.
Gotcha. That's helpful. On the G&A side, that came down pretty nicely, and I'm curious where that flexibility came from in the quarter. And as we think about G&A for the year, if that changes much of the outlook for how we think about the remaining quarters.
Sure. So during the quarter, a couple of the things that are mentioned in the Q and that I mentioned in my script, we did have a little bit lower incentive costs. Some of our bonuses were down, which we really don't necessarily want to see, frankly. We had favorable bad debt experience, and then we did have a little bit of timing from some marketing spend in the United Kingdom that runs through our G&A. For the full year, what I would expect is we're going to be probably slightly down as a percentage. You should see some leverage on the against the revenue line, so we'll be down as a percent versus last year. You know, I'm not going to put a number on it, but I would say a little bit.
Great. And last thing I had was on the tax rate. You mentioned the benefit you had this quarter. I'm curious if the guidance now includes the benefit going forward or not.
No, I'm glad you asked that question. There have been several reports out there were kind of asking that question. So I reiterated this at the end of my scripted remarks, and I'll say it again. Guidance is 8 to 12%. It includes the 53rd week, but it excludes the impact from the stock comp guidance. So what you should see, certainly the stock comp accounting is going to be positive for us. So at a minimum, what I would tell you is you wouldn't see the guidance come down, at least not due to stock comp.
Got it. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Peter Saleh with BTIG. Your line is now open.
Yeah, great. Thank you. I wanted to ask about the overall promotional environment and maybe what you guys are seeing today versus what you've saw the past couple months, and just give us a little bit of history lesson as well. I'm just wondering, has the promotional environment, in your opinion, has it subsided at all on the discounting side? And historically, is it more aggressive in the first quarter than it is in the second and third quarter?
Hey, Peter, it's Steve. No, good question. I would say just overall, just to hit the first part of your question, the competitive environment's really remained pretty consistent in 2017 versus where we were in 2016 across the category. It's just, if you think about pricing for Papa John's, pricing is a tactical element of what we do. Some of the brands will use pricing as more of a strategy, and it is really their brand positioning. Clearly, our brand position is on quality. We will leverage pricing to be competitive and ensure that we continue to take and grow share within the U.S. business, but it's not our brand positioning. To your question on the first quarter, it has historically, at least over the last 3 to 4 years, been extremely more aggressive in the first quarter than the trailing three quarters. However, the environment is ever evolving, and if performance is down or commodity costs decrease from time to time, you'll see have a tendency to see the competitors get have windows of more aggressiveness throughout the year. But we have our plans in place to be able to react to that, and we do pick our spots where we might get a little bit more aggressive. The digital side of the business is clearly an area where we're going to continue to play and make sure that we're being very targeted with our segments. And in fact, I might turn it over to Mike Nettles just to make some comments where we're at in the digital space, our new Chief Information and Digital Officer. Mike.
Thank you, Steve. So, I think a big part of what we have an opportunity for, and you're going to see a lot more of this, is tying our digital marketing into the rest of our digital properties. So we've got a tremendous opportunity to leverage unique meal experiences. If you're watching an NFL game and have a deep integrated sponsorship with the NFL, we can tie that into halftime promotions, make sure that the customer is well aware that, when they're hungry and they're thinking of snacks for their parties, that they're able to get those quickly. We present them to them as opportunities ahead of the game, so they're not actually waiting on it. Use PapaTrack to actually tell them that, hey, it's going to be there in time for halftime, and kind of run with those type of programs wherever possible. I think we have many other opportunities you're going to see this year where we're going to be continuing to tie that digital outreach, particularly through our social media channels, where we get the opportunity to really connect with customers more at a targeted demographic segment as opposed to kind of broad brush, the entire industry. So more to come on that, and don't necessarily want to reveal all the things we're doing, but you're going to see a lot of those themes repeating themselves over the course of the next several quarters.
Great, and then I just want to come back to the, using price as a lever comment. I mean, when we look at your comp in the first quarter, how should we think about, I know you want to give us exact numbers, but your ticket versus your traffic components of getting to that 2% number in the U.S.?
Yeah, Peter, it's Steve. And clearly we don't give specifics on our traffic versus our ticket, but what I will say is the last 5 years we've had traffic growth, and we don't intend to move off of that for our full year in 2017. It is a delicate balance from a promotional window to promotional window, and to Mike's point on how we leverage the digital side of the business, to drive the overall sales component and how that might impact on the traffic side. But we're going to remain focused on traffic because for our brand, it's all about market share growth in a very fragmented category where the national chains still have less than half of the overall share. So we know that we need to remain competitive and have good balanced pricing strategy, but leveraging the strength of our brand positioning, as I alluded to before, pricing for us is not a strategy. It is a tactical element on how we drive the overall business.
Yeah, Peter, this is John. If you look at it from 40,000 feet, the category, Papa Murphy's is losing. Pizza's losing big. Domino's, frankly, is on fire. And Papa John's is just solid. It's just very consistent performing. And that's the big picture of this thing.
Great. And then the last question I had is on the sports partnerships. I think last quarter or a few months ago we were talking about maybe how the NFL partnership was maybe a little bit less relevant in the fourth quarter than it had been in prior years. Now we're talking about the Major League Baseball partnerships and other partnerships. Can you just talk about how relevant some of these partnerships still are and your confidence in them driving results going forward?
Sure, Peter. It's Steve. And, you know, not necessarily to your question around relevance. We do believe the NFL, the Major League Baseball, the NHRA, all of our team partnerships remain relevant and were relevant in the fourth quarter and continue to be in the first quarter. Just the evolution of what's happening from a watch, from a frequency and reach standpoint on television to moving to digital. So there was a decline in the overall ratings for the NFL is what we talked about a little bit in the first quarter. We do spend still a significant amount of our media investment in television, and a significant portion of that television media investment is in the NFL. So when the ratings are down, that impact a little bit of our reach on that side. But as we think about the 2017 season, in fact, the folks with the NFL were in just a couple of short weeks ago, and they're very optimistic about their plans for the 2017 season and how we're going to integrate into the NFL and take advantage of those opportunities. So we still feel really good about our play just in terms of league partnerships, the individual team partnerships. They are relevant and they're a component of our positioning, but our number one positioning and key differentiator is quality and the quality of our ingredients, and that has been that way for the last 33 years and frankly will always be the key differentiator. The sports is more the vehicle to deliver that message.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Chris O'Cull with KeyBank. Your line is now open.
Thanks. Good morning, guys.
Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Chris.
Lance, store profits were down year over year with a 2% comp. So what comp do you think is needed to keep store profit dollars flat?
Chris, your question is really going to margin, so let me start with that. I'm not going to give you an exact comp that it takes because, frankly, it kind of varies by quarter and what else is going on. I will tell you, our restaurant margins were down a little bit over a percent and a half, as we've mentioned in our filings, a little bit in the scripts. You did have a little bit higher wage situation with minimum wage. You had higher non-owned auto claims costs, which has been a recurring theme, as you're aware. Had some mileage increases due to fuel. I think the thing I'd point out, you know, we're not going to give specific guidance on restaurant margins, as you can imagine, but we certainly don't expect our full-year margin to be off or be significantly off anyway of the 20% or so we ran both for the full years in 2015 and 16. So I'm not saying it's going to look exactly like those years, but we don't expect to see really anything near the decline we saw in Q1. One of the things about Q1 is that Q1 16 had a very strong margin. It had very low commodities, as you'll recall, and it also had or did not have any of the insurance charges we've seen in some of the other quarters. So the comparison suffers a little bit for that reason. So, Chris, I don't think the comp really that we need to run is any different than it's been in the past. I just think the margins look a little bit funny, given really some of the things that were happening last year this time.
Were franchise profits down year over year in the first quarter?
Chris, it's Steve, and I think you're probably going to see something fairly similar to the corporate performance. The comp spread was a little bit different. I think they ran a 1.7, we ran a 3. But just in terms of margin disparity from where the corporate restaurants were, I'd say it's probably rather consistent.
Steve, is it fair to assume that franchisees could be at the low end of the comp range given their recent underperformance?
Well, I mean, I think if you look at the historical results that we've reported over the last several years, our corporate restaurants have outpaced the franchisees, and we certainly don't wouldn't give you any indication that that's going to change in 2017. The spread, however, has decreased over the last couple of years, so you know, corporate's probably going to outperform franchisees again in 17.
Okay. I'm trying to understand the unit development and then some of the closures that occurred in the quarter. And, I mean, the comps have been positive. You've got some favorable cheese prices now. But, I mean, you would think franchisees would be more inclined to be opening stores. Has the discounts and then the discount environment, promotional environment, has that deterred franchisees from wanting to open more stores, and I'm talking domestic?
Yeah, Chris, it's Steve again. No, it has not. You know, we've still got aggressive openings, and there's still a, as Tim alluded to before, a strong pipeline, and there's heavy on the inquiry side of interest in the Papa John's brand. The closure side, as I alluded to before, of the 30 closures in the domestic side of the business, nearly 70% of them were in a couple of concentrated markets where we still got under penetration in terms of number of units. The AUVs in those markets are still rather low, and we've also had some more significant wage pressure in those markets in addition to occupancy costs being higher in those individual markets. I pointed out the Northeast, so it's an area where there's a lot of opportunity for the Papa John's brand, but trying to find the right franchisees to move that business forward is really the focus that Edmund and his team are doing there. But again, at the end of the day, it was more of a function of the timing and the number of closures that occurred in the first quarter. So we certainly don't think that we'll see that kind of a trend on the full year. And I'll just keep going back to the full year guidance. And we incorporated a lot of this thinking into our development goals of the 4 to 5%. So, you know, 204 to 250-something, Lance, help me on the number side, I think is 204 to 255 on that 4 to 5% based on the, you know, the basis of number of units we had at the end of the year.
Okay, fair enough. And then lastly, just Lance, why did online ordering business margin improve during the quarter?
Chris, more than anything else, it's just the increased volumes. You saw us go up. Actually, we slightly exceeded 60% on the full year, or a full quarter basis, rather, for the online business. So it's just a matter of margins going up and leveraging the fixed costs that we have on that side of the business.
No pricing changes to the franchisees.
Nope.
No.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
Sure. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you. And as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star and then the number one key on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star one for questions. And our next question comes from the line of Mark Smith with Feltl & Company. Your line is now open.
Hi, guys. Most of my questions have been answered, but just wanted to see if you can speak to the digital as that continues to grow. Do you see some regional or even metro versus rural differences in how many people are using digital for ordering, and does that give an indication of maybe where that business can continue to grow?
Hi, Mark. Great question. This is Mike Nettles. So we don't really see a difference in terms of overall demographics that you're not seeing in the marketplace in general. I mean, you're seeing a higher preponderance probably of your you know, your Gen Zs and your millennials and so forth that favor. Where we're seeing the biggest change is probably the number of our customers who have quickly gravitated and stick to use of the mobile devices. I think mobile device use in general will continue to be in a very aggressive trend. We're actually looking for ways to try to leverage some partnerships in that area. We had a very successful promotion this year with T-Mobile not too recently. And, you know, there's some opportunity for us to really just recognize that mobile devices are such a unique part of the everyday experience of all consumers that people feel more comfortable using them. They feel more in control of the experience, and it gives us an opportunity to really leverage that better ingredients, better pizza, but also a better ordering experience overall. So not so much a difference in terms of, you know, different types of people. Different segments, but certainly we're seeing a big push on the mobile, and a lot of our development investment and effort is on that platform accordingly.
Hey, Mark, this is John. The the digital is the future of this business. One of the negatives on the execution part of running a Papa John's restaurant is having to answer the phones. And we have weeks on corporate where we're mid-60s on digital percentages. I think in 2 or 3 years, the digital will be 75-80% of our orders.
Mark, it's Steve. I'll just add one more piece because we talked about this on the road with the investment community, and it kind of ties to what both Mike and John were saying there, is that some of this is just timing of adoption rate. So our corporate restaurants were early adopters, and the marketing initiatives to drive the digital traffic. So as John said, our overall corporate business is in the mid-60s, but we now have multiple markets that are average on a weekly basis over 70% of digital. I.e., why we have spoken to the fact that we believe that the opportunity to get to 80% plus over the next several years here.
Okay, and then just following up on that, as you've gone to 60% and as you have less people answering the phones, have you been able to cut some labor, or is the volume within the restaurant kept that labor but maybe made it more efficient labor? And then also, can you speak to the difference in check from a digital order compared to a phone-in order? Are you executing on that upsell and getting a higher ticket on those digital orders?
Sure, Mark. It's Steve. I'll hit the last part of your question first. So as we have since the inception in 2001 of being the first national pizza chain to launch online ordering capability, the ticket average has been every year higher for an online customer than it is for an offline customer. That trend has continued into 2017. But not only higher ticket average, we're also see higher levels of frequency and better overall customer experience. The introduction of our loyalty program, which is also, you know, the first in the pizza category back in 2011, think about the ticket average and frequency level there versus a traditional online customer, it's even higher within the loyalty program. So those initiatives and the functions of the future of the business are really the benefits of moving offline customers into the digital side. The work that I know Mike will do on data segmentation and personalization of customers is really the areas where we're in the, very much in the infancy of those opportunities, and the work that Mike's team will be doing over the next several years are really the benefits and, you know, the real improvements that we can drive to the overall margin side. The other part of your question, help me on the labor side. So labor, no, thank you. So most of the benefits that we're getting from an efficiency standpoint, Mark, have been reinvested into customer service. As you hear us like a broken record on customer experience and the benefits of customer experience to increase overall market share, we still believe that there is an inflection point where we reach a certain level of online mix where there will be some efficiencies in the restaurant to drive some potential improvements in the labor side of the business. But at this stage of the game, over the last several years, we've really been doing more investment with the efficiencies to drive the benefit on the customer side.
Great. That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. And we have a follow-up question from the line of Alton Stump with Longbow Research. Your line is now open.
Yes, thank you. And you know, let me get back you know, in the queue. Just wanted to ask about, back to some questions earlier. On the first quarter, you know, franchisees obviously, pick up in discounting. You know, I was curious, you know, if they were happy with the response you guys saw from that, in the mid to late, first quarter time frame, and kind of what their outlook is over the rest of the year, you know, heading into 2Q and beyond from a promotional strategy standpoint.
Sure, Alton. It's Steve. I mean, I think in general, franchisees understand the benefit of driving top-line sales and taking market share. We have a metric that we look at, which is called profit after FLM, and that's profit after food, labor, and mileage. So that's a component of if you drive enough sales, it can offset the potential of an increased food cost or increased labor. So our profit after FLM numbers over the last several years have been very strong, coming off a record profitability year for our franchisees in 2016. So I think they understand the environment. They understand that we'll have to make some decisions from time to time to implement some pricing tactics to ensure that we're still driving traffic. But overall, I think our franchisees have been very happy and understand the and support the promotional decisions.
Hey, Alton, it's John. I think the key to franchising is a healthy relationship, collaboration. And I give Steve the credit on this one. the franchisees, we have the best relationship with our franchisees in the history of the company right now, and that's critical.
Got it. And then one last one, just on the outlook on the comp front, of course you guys, sticking to your 2-4% guidance. Comparisons though, of course do get quite a bit more difficult. Just to get the midpoint of that range would imply several hundred basis point acceleration into your stacks, system wide North America versus what you just put up in the first quarter. What kind of gives you confidence that you guys can get into that full year guidance range?
Sure, Alton, it's Steve again. I kind of spoke to this earlier that, if you look at historically, just go back, point to last year, come out of the gates a little bit softer, the two-year stacks a little softer in the first quarter because of the competitive activity and the investment that we saw from our competitors. If you think about the trailing three quarters, the initiatives that we put in place last year, how we're going to plus up on those partnerships at the national level, at the local level. And certainly we've got some things from a digital perspective that we also intended to drive the traffic. So I think we feel very comfortable on that 2-4% guidance, and despite the stacks getting, to your point, a little bit higher in the trailing three quarters.
Great. Thanks so much again.
Thank you, Alton.
Thank you. And I'm showing no further questions at this time. I would now like to turn the call back to Mr. Lance Tucker, CFO, for any closing remarks.
Thank you, Chelsea. We appreciate everybody's time. We will talk to you in a quarter.
Thank you, Chelsea.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference. This does conclude the program, and you may all disconnect. Everyone, have a great day.